Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I'm here in my home studio recording far, far away from my producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Matt. I'm back in New York and it's Pride Month.
What?
I mean, it's devastating that it's no longer my birthday month, but I'll give it to you.
Yeah, this podcast is already gay, but during the month of Pride, we get even gayer. So you're welcome. But yeah, we're back after we took last week off. I don't think we even said anything about taking last week off. But you know what? We always have to tell you everything that we're doing all the time, okay? Just pick up on some context clues. So coming up on today's episode, what are we getting? We're going to kick things off, as always, with Worst Things First, where I shout about the stupidest, most ridiculous, worst news of the week. After that, we're diving deep into straight culture, okay? Because obviously, yes, we take down straight culture every week.
Just by existing.
Exactly. My life is a repudiation of straight culture. But seeing as it's Pride Month, we wanted to officially kick things off by bitching about the worst aspects of straight culture. And finally, we've got comedian, writer, star of Peacock's Rutherford Falls, Janish Meeting on the pod. We talk about wellness culture, rom-coms, what it was like doing choreographed makeouts with Dustin Milligan, aka Ted from Schitt's Creek, aka My One True Love, and so much more. So let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's start the show. All right, horse things first. Let's chat about the worst news of the week. First, we're in for a doozy right away. The owner of a museum for literal poop.
What?
In Tasmania, the Poozeum.
A Poozeum.
The owner is battling with local council members who are trying to get her museum sign taken down, which depicts a bent over cartoon penguin literally squirting out a stream of shit over the name Poozeum.
What's wrong with that? They should be putting that on their flag. That's the most beautiful image I've ever heard of.
Exactly.
Wow.
I would even go so far as to say Shiro.
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 Okay, first of all, the Poozeum. What is it? Okay, it is, quote, where talking about poo is not taboo.
Wow.
It is a small museum in Tasmania, which is a state in Australia, in case you didn't know.
Honestly, wasn't sure.
Obviously, the only thing we know about it is that the Tasmanian devil lives there and it causes havoc, but also probably takes fat shits that are displayed in the Poozeum. So the Poozeum contains a large selection of animal dropping displays and exhibits explaining the practical uses of dung in the wild and in modern society.
You know what? It's very important.
Yeah, we have to learn about shit, okay? The problem is the museum's owner, a woman by the name of Karen Koch, says that she has been subjected to years of bullying and discriminating behavior from members of the local city council over the museum's sign. You could say she's had enough of their shit.
Oh.
Right?
That's a good one.
So this argument started after the sign was put up in 2019, apparently without a planning permit. And the council says, okay, you have to take it down and reconstruct it in order to meet the town requirements. I guess they have like heritage requirements. It has to meet certain things for the town's like history or some shit. The local mayor of this town, though, says that they have no issue with what the sign depicts. They love the shitting penguin. But he says they take issue with its size and placement, which does not comply with the town's heritage scheme.
Yeah, real convenient.
Yeah, but the owner of the museum, she is now going to like a state board. She's going above the city council. You could say that this Karen, she's trying to speak to the manager.
Oh.
She is alleging that council members have engaged in ongoing bullying and discriminating behavior to enforce the removal of her sign because she says a council member told her in a face-to-face meeting, so there's no written evidence of this, that they don't like the sign. And that's why they're doing this.
Damn.
But the mayor was like, we as a council would love to help the Pooh Museum be a successful business.
Are you from the South? Where is this accent from?
I had it for like a word.
No, that's a stretch.
G'day, mate. We as a council. Nope.
We lost it there again.
I don't have any sort of reference. The mayor is just like, listen, we don't like the size. We don't like the orientation of the sign, which is homophobic.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you don't like its orientation. Get with it, Australia. I honestly have, based on this one article that I've read, no idea whose side I'm actually on. I would love to be on the side of the Poozeum, obviously.
I'm on the side of the penguin, okay?
Yeah, it is a cartoon penguin. You know, if there was an actual penguin,
but I'm on his side.
I might have a little bit, because famously, all penguins are gay.
Right.
So this actually is a civil rights issue now. The owner also said that this kind of excuse that what they're actually upset about is the size and how it's too modern. She says that that is discriminatory because other businesses in the area have even larger signs than hers. Oh. So it's like, okay, double standard about my penguin shitting all over. What is the truth? Across from the sign, I love this detail, is a bronze statue of a dog taking a shit with a placard reading Pooby Doo. Which apparently the council has no issue with. So I guess it is very much about the sign.
We need to take a field trip to this gorgeous, gorgeous landmark.
Let's go down to Tasmania. I will say, I mean, the sign is, it's basically the word Poozeum in a sort of like clip art font.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The poo part of the museum, of the word is in a slightly larger text size. And then it's like a little cartoon penguin. And the stream of shit is basically just like a squiggly line. We don't know where this stands right now. I guess they're waiting for this state commission to kind of give them some sort of ruling. An online petition in defense of the sign has over 1,500 signatures. So we'll see if that makes any difference. Probably not, because petitions don't do shit. Next, a campaign event for a mayoral candidate in Albuquerque was interrupted after a drone carrying a giant dildo flew into the event.
Hero.
Wow,
what a gift. What a beautiful gift. So you're telling me that this mayoral candidate was endorsed by a flying dildo, they've got my vote.
Well, I don't know if you want to call just attending this event an endorsement. Okay. Attendance does not equal an endorsement. They were there. They were kind of, you know, judging their possibilities. They were trying to gather information before this dildo cast perhaps their very first vote for mayor. Anyway, video from the event posted to Facebook that I did watch shows this mayoral candidate answering this woman's question. It's at this outdoor sort of like picnic type event when this dildo comes helicoptering in. Attached to the bottom. It's basically like a drone, and then the dildo is facing downward.
Like a carrot on a string situation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you hear someone say, is that a dong on a drone? and everyone, they're sort of like giggling. The guy on stage, the candidate, does not stop answering the question, even though it is right in front of him, basically. It's like right within his eyesight. So he clearly sees the dildo. He's just trying to do that thing where it's like, if I ignore it, maybe it's not real. Maybe I'm just imagining this, which does happen all the time. You know, when I'm out, sometimes I'm like, is that a dildo on a drone? No. Okay, it's just a pigeon. With a fat erection.
I hate that.
Someone eventually who is identified in this story as the owner of whatever kind of place that they're in the backyard of comes in, yanks the drone by the dildo, shaft first, right at the tip. Uh-huh. And then someone, presumably the person who's operating the thing, comes rushing in from the other side to tackle the person who's about to destroy their drone.
Right.
Because obviously, when you're flying your dildo-laden drone into an event where it is not called for or welcome, the safety of your drone is of utmost importance.
Oh, yes, but of course.
You would never expect anybody to try swatting it out of the sky.
No.
No. The man very aggressively comes in to the defense of the drone and, like, tackles the person to the ground. Apparently, in this kind of ensuing struggle, the candidate got hit on the arm, and so the guy was arrested for, like, a small misdemeanor assault charge. But the man who jumped in was apparently not the one operating the drone. The candidate said he saw another man outside of the fence who appeared to be controlling it. And the candidate said that he suspects that the drone stunt was operated by multiple political operatives and that it was a coordinated effort by several trained individuals.
Wow. Wow.
Trained in the art of dildo drone sabotage.
Where can we hire them?
I'll train in dildo defenses myself. Offenses, really. Oh, what did you study in military camp? Dildo drones. And finally, a drug dealer in the English city of Liverpool was finally brought down and arrested after police identified him from a photo he shared of his hand holding a small block of creamy cheese.
Oh no.
How could cheese betray someone like this is what I want to know.
Does he really have that distinctive hands? Is he like a hand model?
Well, it is kind of fucked up because what they were able to do, he posted this photo on this like encrypted message board.
Encrypted cheese message board. Huge fans of cheese.
I don't understand what the post actually was besides just a picture of like this message board. I don't know if it's just kind of like a social media network for like criminals.
It's like, hey, they want to share pictures of their cheese too.
Yeah, but he shares this photo of it's just his hand holding a little block of this mature blue Stilton cheese from Marks and Spencer, delicious. Which is the British store. And he posted on this board, I guess it's just, yeah, like a message board that criminals use to share photos of cheese that they love. And unbeknownst to him, and I guess the other criminals, police had infiltrated this message board. They were able to analyze the photo and identify his fingerprints from the photo. So he must have been like anonymously posting, in addition to all of the drug deals he was doing on this board, he also shared, you know, here's this cheese that I really like from Marks and Spencer, this delicious creamy Stilton.
It's wine and cheese night at this house.
They were able to go in and say, oh, that's your fingerprint? Well, guess what? We already have it on file and your name is this guy. And they tracked him down and caught him. They nabbed him. And he pleaded guilty to a whole bunch of charges, including supplying cocaine, heroin, MDMA, ketamine.
Cool, 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 cool.
Parmesan, cool. I guess.
I just hope he was able to finish that block of cheese before they took him away.
Yeah. The police inspector said that the man had been, quote, caught out by his love of Stilton cheese. And that's it for this week's Worst Things First. If you want to hear and see even more stories that were brutally cut from this week's episode, you can head to my Patreon, patreon.com/MattBellassai, for our extra stories this week. Next, we're diving deep into why straight culture is the worst.
Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive.
Deep dive.
Deep dive. Deep dive.
Well, it's officially Pride Month, which is not just about celebrating queer people and highlighting the fight for LGBTQ rights. Of course, it's also about making straight people feel bad. Because in the words of gay rights advocate Hillary Duff, the only acceptable insult is that's so straight.
Wow.
Okay. I'm Lizzie McGuire and I approve this message. That's a direct quote that she said in that PSA from the 2000s. There's two girls and they're like, that's so gay. And she walks up to them and she's like, actually, that's so straight. And then she punches the girl in the face and then walks away. That's a real PSA.
Oh, I loved Lizzie McGuire.
So, in honor of the kickoff of Pride Month 2021, today we're going to dive deep into the worst of straight culture. And sure, famously, I am defining straight culture as basically anything that I don't personally like. But it is worth noting that straight people do rally around all of these things, and objectively, they're all terrible. Okay, so let's get into it first. Barstool sports.
A fucking men. Ugh.
I don't even know what Barstool Sports even is. Okay, I'm not sure what former high school quarterback turned adult flop decided to start a heterosexual content empire, but society suffers because of them. Okay, I don't really know what it is. As far as I can tell, it's just a bunch of Facebook and Instagram pages that steal jokes about how women be shopping and how, you know, bro loyalty is more important than hoe loyalty, famously. Mm-hmm. And the sad thing is, I'll say it, contrary to popular belief, the bar stool is a classic piece of gay furniture.
Wow.
Okay, what is Ariana Grande kneeling on the cover of her seminal 2014 album, My Everything? A stool? The very fact that a bar stool is a seat to be perched atop? Okay, you don't perch atop anything else but a bar stool. That is super gay. I would also argue that the bar stool is the perfect podium for displaying the male ass.
Oh, inarguable.
A bar stool is basically begging you to arch your lower back and present your hole like a horny baboon. So just think about that, bar stool sports. Every time you're trying to, you know, capitalize on straight culture and, you know, all of these stupid memes that you're sharing with all of your stupid little friends, just know bar stools are gay as fuck. Next, singing Sweet Caroline, straight culture. I don't know who Caroline is. I'm sure she's a lovely woman. I barely know who Neil Diamond is. I'm sure she's also a lovely woman. What I do know is that this song has been sung at basically every sporting event. It is the theme song of some of the straightest events known to mankind, including every baseball game played in Boston since 2002. I looked that up. It's been sung at every... I knew this. I've said this before. I made fun of these gays who sang Sweet Caroline at karaoke. They immediately saw it on Twitter, and I felt really bad. I've since deleted the tweet. But I remember my visceral reaction to it was, why, if this feels like we're at a sporting event and we are not. And then I looked it up and I was like, right, it's because this is the like theme song of Fenway Park. And the fact that I even have to know where the fuck Fenway Park is straight culture imposing itself on me.
Disgusting.
Okay, the fucking big green wall. Don't even get me started. I just, Sweet Caroline, I don't understand. Reaching out, touching me, touching you, when I didn't ask for any of this? That sounds straight to me. Next! Energy drinks.
Ugh.
Firmly straight culture. Gay people will lick someone else's actual asshole hours after meeting them. But at least we have the good sense never to put our lips on the rim of a can of Monster.
Fair.
Okay? Gay people don't need energy from whatever the fuck taurine is.
I don't know, and I don't want it in my body.
We get energy through the sheer force of constantly feeling bad about ourselves because of pressure from society. That's what fuels me. I don't need Monster, the devil's drink. I will say, on the spectrum of energy drinks, I do think Monster is the worst.
Yeah.
Red Bull seems like a...
Because you can mix it with vodka, you know?
Right. Red Bull, one of the very first times that I went to a gay bar, I had the like Skittle drink that is basically Red Bull mixed with vodka and it tastes like Skittles.
Right.
Because it's vodka and sugar. So that does feel like a very gay energy drink. So I would say Red Bull, gay culture, Monster, straight culture.
Where does 5-Hour Energy fall into this?
See, I would say straight culture, but unfortunately 5-Hour Energy does look like a bottle of poppers.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
So it does kind of by default fall into the category of gay culture.
But this is a spectrum. So, you know, it's to the left of Monster, but to the right of Red Bull.
Right. Let's see. Next, fucking bumper stickers announcing how many children you have. Okay, great. I'm glad now I know that your husband busted in you 7 times and you got a little sticker for each one you shit out. I don't need to know how many babies you have on board. There is very specifically those little cartoon bumper sticker things. I didn't know for the longest time, I thought that was like a logo for something. And then I realized, oh no, you get a little sticker for each baby that you have and you add that to your little car family.
I think everyone who has that should just like get that tattooed on their bodies instead.
Mm. Mm-hmm. 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 You know, luckily women just kind of bear the visual effects of having children.
Rude.
What else? What else? Straight culture. Asking children if they have a boyfriend or girlfriend in class. Asking kindergartners. Oh, so do you have, is that your little girlfriend? No. They're 4 years old.
Yeah, and they're in love, Matt. Okay? They're in love.
Even, I mean, again, similarly, this, it's like when you have little clothes for babies that are like ladies man or something.
Even, I'm sorry, but even when it's like future feminist, it's like maybe they won't be actually.
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to suck. Idea.
Maybe you're actually creating a monster by imposing this vision on them too early. And then naturally, because of human psychology, they're going to rebel against it. My assumption is that we should be teaching all children the wrong things so that they rebel against it and then actually learn the right things.
Brilliant.
Perhaps the epitome of straight culture, 3-in-1 body wash, shampoo, and conditioner. No self-respecting homosexual would ever slather on a lotion that had more than one purpose. Okay? And sure, do I acknowledge that perhaps this is a classist argument, okay? Perhaps it is cheaper for someone to go out and say, buy a 3-in-1 body wash, shampoo, conditioner. You get everything in one, okay? It's cheaper than buying one of each. I acknowledge that. If you are purchasing this product because that is the financially prudent thing for you to do, fine. If you have the means to buy one of each and you're buying this shit, fuck off.
You're straight. You're absolutely straight.
You are absolutely blowing a fat load into your girlfriend. Raw. It is. I think, offensive to the individual shampoo, conditioner, and body wash communities.
Mm, mm.
Okay? Each of them has a specific purpose, and you can't just jam in all these chemicals into one perfect lotion that is doing all of it, okay? I also think that there is something distinctly queer about having a multi-step beauty regimen.
Oh, yeah.
It is about the routine of applying one thing at a time in a row.
You have to deconstruct that soap.
Yeah. Gay people aren't getting ready in 5 minutes. The point is, respect yourself enough not to buy into some of these straight culture staples, okay? And that's it for this week's deep dive. Next, we got Janish meeting on the pod right after this commercial break.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I want to tell you about a podcast I think you're going to love.
Who Weekly is a podcast about everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't.
Does celebrity news stress you out?
Are there too many people you've literally never heard of?
Check out Who Weekly, a podcast hosted by Lindsay Weber and me, Bobby Finger.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest celebrity stories of the moment, and if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we'll answer the most burning listener queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly on the Odyssey app or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Do you wake up in a cold sweat from your work dreams?
Have a coworker who keeps inviting you to do escape rooms?
Can't get a coworker to agree to do escape rooms?
Or are you just genuinely not sure how to take the next step in your career?
I'm Kate.
And I'm Kim. And together we run Amy Poehler's company, Paper Kite Productions.
We've been friends and colleagues for years, so we know how important it is to feel like someone has your back at work.
And we want to be that for you.
So we're hosting a weekly advice show where we answer all your work-related questions.
Something amazing happened. I got offered my dream job.
How am I supposed to bring this up to him without hurting his feelings? What should I do?
I want to like skip the pleasantries without being an asshole.
Careful, money and friends, they don't mix, babes.
They don't. And don't work with your friends, make your friends at work.
All right, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but that was actually $1 million advice.
Whether you need advice or just love to listen to other people's problems, this show is for you.
Listen and follow Million Dollar Advice, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
My guest complainer today is comedian, performer, writer, podcaster, beater, star of the new show, Rutherford Falls, Jana Schmieding. Jana, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Matt.
I'm so excited. So we like to get our complaining juices going by asking, what is one thing you hate that everybody else loves?
Well, you know, I like to like couch my complaints in positivity. So I will say to like sandwich that, like, I do love complaining.
Good, good. Perfect show for you.
I think the first thing that like I hate the most that like comes to mind pretty much every single day I confront it is what I will call white lady wellness culture.
Okay.
Does that sound familiar? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have a vague sense, but I would love for you to elaborate.
Oh God. It's just sort of like, it's a thing that has been, it's been happening forever, but I think that we're really like, I think like Instagram has like really propelled this world into the mainstream. I feel like there's just a lot of like, surface level self-care talk that doesn't actually address systemic issues, doesn't address actual care, but like makes women believe that like facial oils and yoga are gonna like solve all of our problems with like health and like acne.
Right. Yeah.
I've gotten trapped into believing many of them, and I've made purchases that I couldn't afford. I have somehow believed people on Instagram, strangers, people I've never met, people who I couldn't give any fucks about. I have believed their snake oil sales pitches because it worked for them. And like, it just drives me fucking crazy that we have this like wellness culture as women that's going to make us somehow feel empowered or like believe that we're better people for being well. Also, the concept of being well is just like so exploited. I can't stand how the pressure to like be well, like wellness.
Let me just kind of fester. I think we should be celebrating festering. That is how I live my life.
Yes. Like, let me just be. Honestly, like, I just, like, I don't, nobody wants to be fucking unwell. Nobody wants to be sick. So, and like the pressure to be well, it, what it does is ultimately, and like, I look everything as like a systemic injustice, probably because I'm a Native person, but like, wellness culture more widely like touts these beliefs that like if you're not well or if you're not trying to be well, then you're a bad person. You're a bad woman if you're like eating Doritos, like, or if you're like anti-wellness, you know what I mean? And that like aligns itself with a lot of really negative shit like fat phobia, and a lot of times it's like cultural appropriative behavior, and it's racist because we're not attacking the actual injustice of like universal healthcare. Like, you know what we could do for people who need to be well or practice wellness or self-care is give them free access to healthcare.
Yes. Yeah.
Fuck, I don't, your need fucking Instagram facial font. Oils. No, yeah. I don't need a fucking Instagram post about it. Like, just tell your representatives to like pass fucking Obamacare.
Right.
Christ. I get very heated about
it. Yeah.
It also like dips into another thing that I hate, which is like a crystal loving witch white woman. God, don't even get me fucking started on the crystals. It's woo woo bullshit is what it is.
It ties into, I feel like I've heard the term toxic positivity more in the last few weeks than I ever have. It's probably because it's that thing where like you hear something for the first time and then you hear it everywhere because your brain is like, oh, right. But yeah, I know some people like that. And I feel like the toxic positive people are the same crystal loving people. They're like the Venn diagram.
It goes hand in hand. Yeah. You know what I love to help me like feel like I'm grounded or present is therapy. I need therapy.
That's my crystal, exactly.
You know what I would love is like not to be living in a very racist country. That would help me feel more grounded. But yeah. I don't know what a crystal is going to do. Right. I do know that it probably came from indigenous land and it was procured in an unethical way. And now I'm holding it, believing that it has some kind of magical power. No, no.
That being said, I would feel better if my therapist charged herself in the moonlight. That would make me feel better. I feel like she might be more receptive to some of the things that I'm saying. Just
that is
an idea.
True.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I'm with you. I'm with you on all of these items so far.
And it's okay if you're not, also because I am like, you know, I have a lot of friends who, I have Native friends who are crystal lovers. Like I live in a world where every other white friend of mine is somewhere on this spectrum. The crystal spectrum, if you might. And so I don't hate the player, I hate the game.
Exactly. Yeah. I think there was some perhaps other items that we were going down the list of things that you hate.
I this list is all over the place, but
that's great. I love that.
Sort of adjacent. Something I really don't like, and I'm trying really hard to find an appreciation for it, are rom-coms.
Okay.
Not a fan. I find them to be corny. I find them to be bad filmmaking.
You're attacking this on all fronts. The writing, the filmmaking.
I can't think of a single rom-com that I like. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, but When Harry Met Sally. Uh-huh. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. It was bad. I can't. I just have a hard time. I also think that, like, the source of those, maybe some jealousy or maybe some you know, I'm just like angry at it because I never had a rom-com in my life. But therein lies the problem. You're selling a dream that will never fucking happen.
Right, right.
The reality is men, fucking straight cis men are trash. They're fucking bad at romance. And how dare Hollywood peddle a idea that, like, romance equals happiness.
Right.
It really doesn't. And that hasn't proven to be true in any of my friends', like, long-term relationships either.
Right, right.
It seems like a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. That is the one thing the past year that I've sort of, you know, I don't want to take too much pleasure in the kind of misery of others, but some couples have been going through it, and I'm like, well... Ugh. You see?
Listen, you made a choice. You made your king size bed and now you must lie in it, I guess.
But similarly, it is, you know, if I interrogate those feelings for even a second, it is pure jealousy.
Truly, it is pure jealousy. It's like a very clearly my own insecurity about, like, not scoring as much as I wish I would have exactly. In my younger years and in my adult years. I mean, and also being single is such a, like, a privilege.
Right,
actually,
right.
Actually, like, so liberating.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think ultimately... I got turned off by rom-coms early on because they were just so blissfully ignorant of all of the actual realities of love and dating. And I don't know. Will I end up writing a rom-com for myself? Maybe. Have I been brainstorming one? Maybe.
We've known one another for 15 minutes and I am endorsing this idea. Count me in. Anyway, I thought there might be one more.
Oh, yeah. But this one is way out there. This
okay.
one's so weird.
Okay.
I almost feel ashamed dropping it. But I have a third one and it's outer space.
Uh-huh.
Outer space as a concept. Outer space, the actual place.
Is it because it is scary or uninteresting?
Yeah, so outer space is it's scary. Mm-hmm. It's like it's too hard. Like it's just like smarter than me.
Right, right.
It seems like a world of math, and that's not a friendly place to me.
That is one of the things that I'm like completely okay with just never thinking about. Mostly because if I think about it for more than 5 seconds, I will lose my goddamn mind.
will break out in hives.
It is genuinely terrifying to me how big it
is. Yeah, I feel the same way about like deep sea,
yes.
Or like the middle of the ocean. Uh-huh. Like I hate the show. What's that reality show about the people who crab? They go and they
oh,
like.
Oh right. I don't, it's like you know, extreme crabbing or something. I don't know. It's not
like,
that, but
yes,
might as well
it is.
Be.
It's extreme crabbing. And it's like the most dangerous game is what it's like called. But it's apparently it's just like the most dangerous job to have is crabbing in the deep sea.
Yeah.
And like it looks terrifying. It's a horrible, horrible place.
Yeah. The fact that there are places in the ocean where a wave could turn over like a boat the size of the Titanic.
No.
Is unfathomable to me.
It's horrible. Like a wave that's like stories high and you're on a boat and you're looking straight ahead and that's the wave and your boat is going to go up it. Like, no, thank you.
I can't even think about it, but those were all great things to hate. Okay, so I wanted to ask about Rutherford Falls, obviously. We've mentioned the show a bunch on the pod before. For people who don't know, I'll just summarize. It's about these two friends. They're lifelong friends. It's you and Ed Helms' character, Nathan. Their friendship is tested after the mayor of the town decides to move the statue of Nathan's ancestor, and then your character is left kind of juggling her loyalty between Nathan and her own people, the fictional Minnetonka Nation. And one of the things that makes the show so unique is how many Native people were involved both in front of the camera, but also behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's the first show to really highlight the Native experience, the contemporary Native experience. Mm-hmm. And there were 5 Native writers in a 10-person writing room. You know, it's the first of many Native shows that are going to start popping up. And it's really funny for that reason. It's really nuanced, and it is both hilarious and specific. But I think it challenges sort of what we're experiencing right now culturally, which is like, you know, some holes are being poked in American history. And Native people have always been talking about those holes and trying to defend our own history mm-hmm. in the face of like a more whitewashed historical narrative. And so we brought a lot of that, those experiences to the writer's room. And I was a staff writer on the show as well. Mm-hmm. So I had the fortunate experience of working with other Native people in a creative field for the first time in my life. And it was just an extremely joyful experience. And I think you can see the joy in that in the show.
Yeah, that is the thing that I think... There is that now, I think, fairly dated notion that, like, you can't, like, be funny but also deal with, like, real shit in the world. And, like, those yeah. ideas, absolutely not mutually exclusive. You
totally.
Totally. It's about coming from a place of love and then understanding and, yeah. and relatability.
Absolutely. I think that a lot of the issues that we deal with are specific to the Native experience, mm-hmm. but they're universal yeah. in their presentation. And I think especially because our show deals with real characters and it goes more in depth with these people mm-hmm. who are dealing with these more systemic issues. It's more relatable for anybody to understand, like, what is it like when a big idea that I have has been challenged, or when a big philosophy that I hold on to has been challenged. But also these characters interact with a lot of different things despite history, you know? Mm-hmm. My character, Regan Wells, has a love interest. She has a little rom-com.
Right.
storyline, you know, and it's like there's stuff like that, and there's a Native CEO of a casino, mm-hmm. and I think largely what we know culturally of like Native people are often depicted as like casino mm-hmm. owners or lovers, and they're often like depicted as like corrupt or tricky or, you know, like just money hungry. But we go in depth into the character of Terry Thomas and explain why he does what he does and the values that he brings to his work. The point of the show is not to confront stereotypes at all, mm-hmm. but we do in our writing simply because we are trying to tell stories about people. And I think that that sits in direct conflict to stereotyping. It doesn't generalize human beings. So
right.
we're giving these people like lives outside of what they've normally been depicted as.
Yeah, exactly. Not to follow that with something completely flippant, but...
Oh, please. Please, please do.
Your love interest in the show is Dustin Milligan, who I, not gonna lie, would do, you know, would... You can finish that sentence.
I know. He's a smoke show.
Yeah.
He's not only a smoke show, but Dustin is also a very, like, intelligent and thoughtful person. Mm-hmm. He is perfect for the role because he understands his positionality in our culture uh-huh. and in the world. And so, like, he's just, like, such a cool dude.
Right.
He's just a cool person.
It would have been honestly better for my mental well-being if you had just said he was a piece of shit and I should forget about him.
I know. I wish he were. I wish he were a little bit of a piece of shit. Although I will say that, like, having kissing scenes with a off-screen piece of shit would have been terrifying for me.
Right, right.
So it helped that he was, like, a very cool friend and, like, a gentle person
yeah.
to like make that experience a lot less scary for me. Uh-huh. I like, now that I've done that, I cannot imagine being a person making a show or making a movie and having to like make out with an asshole.
Right.
Like
right.
a real prick. Oh my God.
Yeah. If I'm projecting my own experience onto this idea, I would say, you know, if it was someone who is like super nice and kind and friendly, I'd be like, okay, like we're in love now, even though we're doing this for a show and we did this take 15 times. This is real and I'm going to ride this.
Well, luckily, you know, I am anti-rom-com. so like averse to romance.
Sure.
And Dustin is married to an amazing woman,
right,
who
right.
I also respect very much. So
that helps.
Totally like a friendly situation. Mm-hmm. And we also had like an intimacy coordinator, which was like,
yeah.
if you need anything to like kill your boner about something, bring an intimacy coordinator into the mix. Like,
yeah,
they really know how to cut that tension with a dull knife.
I know. I'm only kind of like a little bit aware of exactly what an intimacy coordinator does, but I imagine it's pretty clearly at choreographing this hand goes here,
yes.
this lip goes here, etc.
Yeah, exactly. Like I think like it's really good to have an intimacy coordinator, mm-hmm. even for just like any kind of romantic scene, because the thing that I freaked out about and that I had like nervousness about was the choreography.
Yeah.
I was like, if this is going to be a fake kiss and like not a real kiss that I'm going to like do in my life.
Uh-huh.
I need somebody to tell me like, and my, the director of that episode, Sydney Freeland, she's an amazing queer Navajo woman. She has done a ton of Grey's Anatomy. So she, mm-hmm. she's like worked in drama a lot. She was the one who actually came up when we were going to shoot this scene. And she was like, all right, here's what it's going to look like. And she took her hands and like made them into fists like this. And she was like, all right, the first kiss is you're going to come in like this, and she like presses the fist together,
uh-huh.
and then you pull away, and she goes, and then you're gonna come in again, and it's gonna be a boom and a boom, and she just like turns her fist like this, like the faces,
uh-huh.
and I was like, okay, great, okay, so that's, and I'm gonna go to this side, and like it's like very, the like visual aid was so helpful.
Right. Yeah. Honestly, I hear that, and I'm like, I just need that person to follow me around all the time.
I know. I was like, oh God, this, the clarity.
Uh-huh.
I, like, there's nothing that I wanted less than like this on-screen kiss scene to be like a bumbling, like embarrassing mess,
right.
with my friend Dustin. Like, oh God. I just was like, please just tell me exactly what to do.
Right.
So very helpful to have a person on there. Choreographer.
Exactly. Kiss choreographer. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, we're almost out of time, and I wanted to move to a segment we call Elaborate, which is having you elaborate on some tweets of yours where you've expressed your displeasure of something. You do have some great ones.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm such a hater on Twitter.
But I love it, and this is the place for it. One that I love is, I'll just read it verbatim. Instacart, babe, if I've said it once, I've said a million times. No, I will not tell us how we did. The person always gets a tip and a rating, and that is the end of the fucking feedback cycle. I strongly relate. I was just talking about this.
Does every website need to ask for a rating? Every fucking website asks now.
Right, right.
Every single one.
And as, you know, obviously a podcaster, you're always asking for the ratings and the reviews and, you know, they help, et cetera, et cetera. But you've done the tip, you've done the rating. Why do I have to write a paragraph about my groceries?
No. And also, like, there's like two tiers of ratings on Instacart. You're rating the person, the actual mm-hmm. work. There's maybe three tiers, because sometimes they're like, Postmates, for example, has like three-tiered rating. You're rating and reviewing the person delivering the food.
Right.
You're rating and reviewing the products.
Right.
That you got, like the food. Like, okay, now the restaurant needs a rating. Mm-hmm. And now Postmates, the app, we also want a rating.
Uh-huh.
What, how many fucking ratings? Who do you think I am? Do you think that I have the time?
Yeah.
When I'm eating my food or I'm unpacking my groceries to be clicking the stars on the app for 2 hours? No.
No, no. And it's always like, my thing is, it always happens 3 hours later where it'll be a pop-up that's God. Like, tell us how we did. And I never, it's out of my mind at that point.
Babe, I forgot.
Right.
I'm 3 episodes into Mare of Easttown. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
You did fine. If you didn't do fine, I'll call you. How about that?
Right. That's the thing. If you're really upset about something, like, they're going to find out. Like, they don't have to worry about that. Another tweet. This one was from February of this year. I'll go for an hours long walk. No prob. But the second you call it a hike, get the fuck out of here. Agree. That is also very LA thing.
Yeah. The LA obsession with hikes. Come on. Like, mm-hmm. We get it. You're in shape. This is like, this is part of my wellness bitching. It's like, all right, fine. Like, I'll go for like a walk that's like has some hills and valleys in the woods, but like, I don't need to call it a hike. It's just a walk. The second hike is put into the equation.
Right.
It's a fitness activity, mm-hmm. and there's expectation.
Right, right. Yeah, the second elevation is introduced into the equation. I know my calves are going to hurt. I know my feet are going to hurt. Yeah.
My lungs are going to hurt. I am a person who is like very anti like public exercise. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not anti it for anybody else but myself.
Yeah.
But I also like when I was on the apps, I'm not anymore, largely because it's a trap. But when I was on the apps,
true.
So many men were like, first date, let's go on a hike. Like, what are you talking about? Never.
Yeah, yeah.
Never. Not the first date, not the last date, not 2 years down the road, babe. We're not going to work out together. That's not who I am. And I don't want to date you if that's who you are.
Yeah. That was a big thing throughout the pandemic. It was like, you know, let's go on a walking date because it's something you can do outside and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I am sweaty from the walk from the subway to the bar.
Yeah.
I don't need you to see me doing any movement for longer than like 2 minutes.
No, no. Exercise is private.
Exactly. Exactly.
Keep it that way.
Okay, one more. I hate when ghost hunters pray out loud for ghosts to show themselves. It's so embarrassing, these masked dudes just absolutely simping for ghosts in other people's homes. That, honestly, 5-star tweet. I would leave a review on that tweet. 5-star tweet.
Please review how I tweeted that. First of all, ghost hunters, you need therapy, okay? Why is it always men or women grappling with their sexuality that are just like, they have the spikiest hair, uh-huh. they're always from Philly, and they are like, they just go into either abandoned things or other people's homes, and they fucking impose their weird radical spiritual beliefs upon an environment, mm-hmm. and vocally. It's embarrassing. It makes me blush thinking about like adult men sitting around in a circle being like, Robert, is that you? Come out, Robert. Turn on a light. Turn on a light if you want to say something. We're here. We want you to say something. Like, and then sometimes it's like they taunt ghosts.
Right.
They'll be like, what's the matter? You're too afraid to come and fuck with us. It's like, man, you have got work to do, okay? Yeah. You need some what white women call self-care, sir.
Yeah, like, check out this Instagram ad for face oil you might consider instead of what you're doing.
You might consider. It's just, what a genre of TV that we have created. It's truly a monster. Like, yeah. And nothing ever happens. It's like, bud, you are going about this in all of the wrong ways. I don't know what to tell you, except like, please tune into the other 5 shows on the History Channel that are like this.
Yeah. Also, in this world of ghost hunting, it's also like, the ghost is just like some dude, like just leave him alone. You know, even truly. in this kind of, you know, mythology you've built up, it's just like a guy. You're just like in
someone's
house.
It's just a man.
Yeah. Just let him be.
It is also, yes, it like exposes so many like, in my opinion, like falsehoods about what may or may not be the spiritual realm. Uh-huh. But like the fact that like you assume that first of all, the person speaks English. Mm-hmm. And second of all, that like ghosts are trapped in spaces. Like right. They cannot leave this like home. That like you did a little bit of research about the history of this home and you found out that like a girl died of cholera in 1845. And right. That is who must be the ghost. So we're going to call upon this little girl. Like, leave her alone, man. She had cholera.
And that she just exists as, like, her exact self, but with, like, the opacity turned down to 50%. Yeah.
She's like, as she's dying, she's the great creator is like turning her opacity like down and down and down.
Well, on that note, where can people find you and your work?
Well, you can watch Rutherford Falls. Mm-hmm. I have a podcast about weight stigma and its many intersections. It's called Woman of Size. You can find that anywhere you listen to podcasts. And you can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at Jana Unplugged, spelled in a very America Online, like Yahoo chat
right,
way.
Right. You'll find it. You'll find it.
You'll find me.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that help all the bad shit go down easier, starting with Do Better White People, where we highlight some anti-racism resources and other actions we could take to make our world a little bit better. Barry, what are we highlighting this week?
This week, I wanted to highlight an organization. It's called Ali Forney. It is the largest and most comprehensive nonprofit organization that is dedicated to helping needs of homeless LGBT youth. I feel like we've talked about this on the pod before, but if you need a reminder, LGBTQ youth comprise a super disproportionate number of the homeless population. They are 8 times more likely to experience homelessness. So this organization has a lot of different programs, which is one of the reasons why I was excited to shout it out. They have emergency and transitional housing. They have HIV care and prevention, job readiness and education, and like a lot of other programs. And there are a bunch of different ways to get involved. So if you want to donate money, you can do that on a one-time thing. You can do it on a monthly thing, but you also can do a ton of different types of volunteer opportunities. They do like meal prep volunteering, tutoring, a bunch of different stuff. So there's a link in the show notes if you want to get involved. I believe it's New York based, but that they also work nationally. So you can check them out. The link is in our show notes.
Beautiful. Awesome. Let's get into the TV we've been watching this week. Barry, what you been watching?
Oh, well, last weekend it was rainy almost every single day, mm-hmm. and I was like, ooh, finally, I can just watch a shit ton of TV and not feel bad about it. So I did, and one of the things that I had mentioned I was going to watch and I finally got to watch was the third and final season of Shrill. And this season was by far my favorite, in large part because a lot of people who we've had on the pod, who we love, they had like bigger roles and it was so funny. Joe Firestone fucking kills it this season. There's like one specific scene that I have rewatched multiple times. I have shown you it multiple times. Guess what? I've watched it even more times than the times that I showed you again. So yeah, if you haven't watched Shrill, I think the season is really great and it's wrapping up, which is a bummer. But that is what I watched this week, in addition to some other stuff that I think you're probably going to talk about. So what are you watching this week?
I'm sure we've talked about both of these shows, but Hacks and Mare of Easttown. Mare of Easttown just finished.
What a turn. What a twist. What a fun, fun little mystery show.
Yeah.
And by fun, I mean absolutely devastating.
Yeah, it was really fascinating to go between like Mare of Easttown and Hacks and to have the Jean Smart connection between both of them, going between them in this emotional roller coaster. But yeah, watching both of those. Also, the Bo Burnham special on Netflix I'm watching.
Oh, yeah, I want to watch that.
It is very like existential, as is a lot of Bo Burnham stuff, but enjoy it.
Love it.
What is your non-TV chaser?
My non-TV chaser obviously involves you. Last weekend over Memorial Day weekend, you and I went on a beautiful, wonderful Manhattan day where we like went out to brunch on the Upper West Side, and then we hung out in Central Park, and then we went to the Met, and we spent like 3 hours at the Met, and I didn't realize that like you haven't been there very often, and I love the Met, which is a very unique thing about me, actually, is that I like going to one of the most famous museums in the world. But we did all that, and it was super fun. And I haven't been to a museum since, you know, the whole pandemic situation. And I really love museums and I'm excited for this. Most people are like, oh, summer, time to go to the beach. And I'm like, oh, summer, time to go to the museum because it's cold in there.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for this to be summer of the museum and get back into going to a bunch of different museums because, fun fact, New York has a lot of museums. So going to be going to those.
True, true.
It really brought me a lot of joy that day. What about you?
Same. We had brunch at this place and got an appetizer that was cinnamon buns, essentially like a combination of monkey bread and cinnamon buns. Ugh. And it was, I still think about
it. Yeah, it was really good.
But my other chaser is Hola Poppy. It is a, it started as an advice column by the writer John Paul Brammer, JP Brammer on Twitter. And, now it'll be a book and it's nice. Coming out this week. And I really love it. He's like a queer Latino writer who is, you know, I feel like I'm always a little skeptical of advice columns, but I feel like he does a really fantastic job of like being very empathetic and funny. And there's definitely been, I subscribe to his newsletter, which is, you know, Hola Poppy, and he answers questions. And I feel like there are so many that I find very helpful.
Nice.
So perhaps you will too. And that's it for today's show. So thank you for listening to Unhappy Hour. If you want more Unhappy Hour shit, and I'm sure you do, head straight to my Patreon page. You'll get video of bonus Worst Things First stories that were cut from this week's episode. You'll also get video of the full extended guest complainer interview, a bunch of other fun stuff. Guess what? You can also buy merch at unhappyhourshop.com. And obviously, as always, head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audacy, that's AUDACY, or wherever you get podcasts, hit that subscribe button, then rate us and review us, but only if it's nice. I don't want to hear your shit. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Studios. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, and me, Matt Belisai. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Our music is by Hansdale Sue. You can bother Barry at Finkelberry Pie. You can worship me at Matt Belisai. And you can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter for all the latest podcast buzz. You can leave us a voicemail on our rant hotline at 601-600-RANT. That's 601-600-7268. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. Borderline. Feels like I'm going to lose my mind. Cause I just hey, I love.